It's October, which means it's time. 31 days, 31 podcasts.
31 podcasts.
It's Helpful Show and Tonto.
Hey everybody, welcome to today's episode. Today we have something that's, I'm sure some of you will dismiss as being not spooky, and some of you will, I'm going to just say this, open your mind, all right? So this is about an album called Everyday Chemistry by The Beatles. However, this isn't The Beatles that we know, sort of. On the website, thebeatlesneverbrokeup.com, there's this dude who has been very elusive. Like, it's very difficult to find him and for anyone to ask him questions or anything like that. You go to the site and you see a picture of this tape. It's in kind of a beat-up cassette tape, handwritten, The Beatles, Everyday Chemistry, song titles, all that stuff. Here's the short blurb. On September 9th, 2009, I experienced something that I still am having trouble believing happened to me. I came into the possession of a cassette tape containing a Beatles album that was never released. I don't expect you to believe what happened to me. I sure wouldn't, but that's why I grabbed the tape as proof that my experience was real. You can download the album, all that good stuff. Now, we can do the story of the tape, and he gets into a lot more detail about how he came to possess this tape. The following is an actual account of my experiences as of recently. Because of the nature of what has happened, I must remain anonymous until I feel it is safe to reveal my real name, but for now you can refer to me as James Richards. So this has been around since about 2009, right? So quite a little while. And the thing is, I'm sorry, yeah, it's been around since 2009. I mean, this looks like a fucking 2009 website, that's for sure. And the thing is, this guy, no one really seems to know who he is. And, there's some speculation about the tape and obviously stuff like that. But there's also some interesting aspects to what he's saying. On September 9th, 2009, I experienced something that I still am having trouble believing happened to me. I came into the possession, blah, blah, blah. In fact, not only was this tape never released, but it was recorded many years after the Beatles broke up. And no, I'm not talking about Klaatu. This is an interesting side note for Beatles historians. At one point, there was this band named Klaatu, and they released an album, and then their identity was kept totally secret. And it was kind of like some music that was somewhere between Beatles and Beach Boys, right? And it was so close to that, and the record company was keeping it so close to the vest who had released this, that people started speculating that Klaatu was the Beatles. And this was in the 70s at the point when the Beatles had broken up. And, certainly part of what happened was people wanted so badly for the Beatles to get back together that maybe they were willing to believe this, right? But of course, over time, the members of Klaatu revealed themselves and they ended up having some best-selling records, especially, I think, in Australia and the UK. And there you go. So that's kind of the story of Klaatu. And part of what makes this interesting, is that this tape that this guy has, nobody's ever claimed credit for it. Nobody has stepped forward and said, oh, I did that, or here's how I made it, or anything like that. It still remains a complete mystery. Who did it? And it also is a mystery, if somebody did do it and this story is not true, why they wouldn't have said something by now. All right, so here's the deal. Now, this is where the story becomes slightly more unbelievable, which is the second paragraph at that point. And it is almost embarrassing to attempt to explain the incident to you for fear of viewing me as a completely absurd. I must assure you, I am not insane or on drugs. And hopefully the audio from this tape will be enough proof that there is more than we think out there. I live in Livermore, California, but on September 9th, I was driving home from Turlock after visiting a friend for a few days. Turlock, dinosaur hunter. I had my dog with me, and I didn't have any plans for the day, so I decided to take a drive through a place called Del Puerto Canyon, just west of Turlock. There's a scenic road that is a fun drive and actually goes to Livermore. I hadn't taken a cruise through it for a while, so I thought I would take this way home. It was 2 p.m. A ways into the canyon, my dog started acting like she needed to use the restroom. Well, you could just say she needed to pee. She's not going to use a restroom, right? So I pulled over to the first available parking area to the side of the road and let her out while I stretched. At first, I didn't notice, but then I heard the barking from 30 yards away. My dog was chasing a rabbit. Now, my dog is a pretty good dog, but if she is chasing something, then there's no stopping her, so the only thing I could do was become part of the chase. They already had about a 40-yard head start, so I had to really book it. The uneven ground and soft dirt patches made it difficult to run, and it wasn't very far into the chase. I had stepped in a rabbit hole, fell, and knocked myself unconscious. When I woke up, now see, this is the thing. I probably would have put the unbelievable part about here, because so far, most of this is pretty believable other than the idea of a dog using a restroom. When I woke up, I was in a room with some furniture and electronics in it. I was taken care of with a bandage on my head, but I still felt uneasy about the situation because where I fell and hit my head was in a very, very rural, unpopulated area with no houses, and outside the window of the room I was in, I could hear traffic. I wasn't near the window in the room. It was actually on the other side next to an unusual-looking electronic machine that I didn't recognize from anywhere I've seen before. The only reason this stood out was because it seemed out of place in a person's home, which most of the room resembled. I decided to get up and look out the window, but the door opened and in ran my dog, who was pretty excited to see me. When I looked up, there was a man standing at the door. He's about 6 feet tall, had medium-long black hair, and was dressed casually nice, but gave me a greasy vibe, if you know what I mean. I guess so. Yeah. He introduced himself as Jonas and asked me if I was okay, which I said yes. He said he found me unconscious in a field with my dog barking at me. So I thanked him for helping me and my dog out, and that I was surprised my dog even came back to me. I then asked him the question that would have made me start wondering if I, in fact, had gone crazy. I asked him, "Where am I?" "About 20 feet from where I found you," he replied. I told him that couldn't be possible because there were no houses within at least 20 miles from where I last remember being. He then told me that what he was going to say next will be very shocking and unbelievable, and that if he didn't actually experience it himself, then he wouldn't believe it. He took a look at the machine near the window and looked back at me, and he said he transported me into parallel Earth. Dun dun dun! He said he traveled to our Earth dimension and found me knocked out in the blazing heat with nobody around to help me out. Normally, he said he doesn't take outsiders through a portal, but in my case, he thought I needed urgent help. I immediately started asking questions about traveling to parallel worlds since all I knew about the topic was YouTube videos of Michio Kaku. He told me to slow down and that he would explain himself. Apparently, in his world, a parallel travel machine can be purchased quite easily, while not cheap. It's pretty popular, even though the machine can be dangerous enough to cause death. In the 1950s of this dimension, the government was faced with the decision to continue to fund a space program, I'm guessing NASA, or a parallel dimension program called ARP-D. I can't remember what he said it stood for. I'm pretty sure the P-D is parallel dimensions, and I remember the acronym because I noticed it on a lot of the electronics in the room. He then explained that the real danger of using one of the machines was exploring new dimensions. Since there are an infinite amount of Earths in other dimensions, only a small amount have been explored. The problem with exploring unknown dimensions is the chance you will die somehow once you walk through the portal doorway. He told me that people die from falling if the ground isn't close enough to where the portal opens, die from drowning, there are worlds covered in water, hard to reopen a portal underwater, die from fire, atmospheric issues. He said in order for people to avoid this, they would have to know that there would be similar ground in the dimension they were traveling to. So his government began to research worlds that were safe to transport to, even creating public spots where people could choose a menu of worlds to go to that were all safe. Many of these worlds were lush vegetation worlds that were never ruined by man, only to be invaded by the large, overcrowded population of the traveler's world. He said something about new industries that opened up because of this, one of them being something like dimensional life brokers. These people offered the chance to live as someone new in an already established similar world that doesn't know of dimensional travel, nor that there are people crossing the dimensional border to. Jonas said he was an explorer for one of the dimensional travel agencies and was looking in new uncharted dimensions and came up my Earth. We talked about a lot of things. It was interesting to see what similarities and differences we had between worlds. Foods, culture, TV, technology, we covered a lot. We also started talking about music, which was an interesting topic because there were many of the same bands between our worlds that existed, including the Beatles. When their name got brought up, Jonas mentioned that his brother just got back from seeing them perform at a concert, which I gave a weird look to and said, "You mean they're still together?" And he said, "Yeah." I then told him about how they broke up in our world and that John and George passed away. Apparently in his world, they are all alive, healthy, and on tour still. Jonas then had me follow him into another room that had a bookshelf-looking thing with some cassette tapes. Yes, the music ones. Apparently CDs never caught on in his world. And a tape player, radio, cassette player. Though it didn't quite look like the type of radios we have, the speakers looked much more like crinkled cardboard but sounded pretty good. I didn't get too good of a look at the speakers, but they were certainly weren't round. They almost looked like a tall accordion. The only Beatles album he had was a store-bought and had a real cover art with Sgt. Pepper's, whereas the cover looked slightly different than the one we have, but the songs were all the same. The other six Beatles tapes he had were all like somebody recorded them onto blank cassettes for him and wrote the song titles on a card slipped in the case. A couple of the album titles written on the tapes I recognized, but there were about four that I had never heard of before. He played a few songs from one of them, which was totally surreal to hear Beatles music that was never made, at least in our world. We talked about it a little bit. He said a girl made the tapes for him while he was in upper school, what they call high school. She was a huge fan of them and wanted him to listen to them. He popped out the first tape and was putting in the second one when I told him he should record me a copy of one so I could take it back with me, thinking it wouldn't be a big deal. Well, the look Jonas gave me when I said this is part of the reason I'm remaining anonymous. Not only did it sort of scare me, but it had a very serious, almost creepy look to it, followed by the phrase, not word for word, I can't remember what he said, "No, you are not to take anything with you back to your world. No pictures, no souvenirs, no tapes, nothing." I asked him why, and he wouldn't really say, except that for my safety, I wasn't to take anything back. Of course, I'm not the type of person to go through all of this parallel world stuff and not grab something to prove the outrageous story of my experience. I'm not that kind of person to just lay down for that bullshit. So for the moment, I told him I wouldn't take anything and change the subject. About an hour later, after some more talking, I heard a doorbell ring and he left the room to check the door. I knew that I may not have another chance to take something, so I grabbed one of the tapes and put it in my pocket, and then shuffled the tapes around to make it look less obvious that something was missing. When he came back inside, I said I was kind of hungry to just get us out of the room. I mixed the tapes up a little so it was hard to tell one was missing, but I didn't want to be there when he found out. So he then took me in the other room and fed me. For the most part, the food tasted like ours, but was different product names and colors. The purple ketchup was the strangest. We talked a little bit more, and then I expressed the notion that I should be going because it was getting late. The time of day was identical to ours, as is all worlds. We went back into the room with the machines in it. I grabbed my dog and shook Jonas's hand for taking care of me after I was knocked out. I thanked him again and stepped through the portal, which felt like getting wet but staying dry the entire time. Really weird. When I put my dog on the ground, she even shook herself like she thought she was wet. Back in our world, I could see my car on the road still, and there was a straight line burn mark on the ground from where the portal had shown up. It was dark outside, and the only reason I noticed the burn was because it was still smoking from heat. I walked back to my car, didn't run this time, and drove home. The worst part was I couldn't even listen to the tape on the way home because I didn't have a tape player in my car. I actually wasn't even able to listen to it at home for the same reason and had to go to Walmart to buy a tape player just to listen to it. Unfortunately, I don't have any information about the tape other than what is written on the card sleeve. The track names were written, as well as the album title, Everyday Chemistry. Everything else about it is as mysterious to you as it is to me. It also wasn't like I could have asked the guy anything about it, especially after taking it from him. I'll post some more about my experience in the coming days, which never happened, but I have to go to work right now, and this post is already long enough. If anyone has any questions they want to ask me about this incident, then I've set up an email address you can contact me at, thebeatlesneverbrokeup@yahoo.com. I'll try and answer questions as best as possible. Lastly, if there's anyone out there that has experienced anything like this, please contact me. Some of the things this guy said to me almost make me wonder if this isn't the first time dimensional travelers have been here. James Richards. All right, so there you go. And he's got the whole album on here. You can download the whole thing, all that good stuff, right? Now, what's interesting about this, especially, is that no one's been able to track this guy down. Somebody tried to do a report or a, you know, reporting on him and tried to figure out who he was based on who owned the website. But basically, that didn't work. There was nothing in there. He tried to track the guy down. That wasn't possible, right? There was also apparently a short story by a guy called Stephen Baxter where it was called The 12th Album, and it's an alternate reality where a lost Beatles LP is discovered. So it's kind of interesting, right? But the author didn't want to talk about it. So here's the thing. There's basically two possibilities here. One possibility is that this is just a bunch of bullshit. And this guy just did this and, you know, is just going to let the mystery stay alive forever and never tell anyone about it and stuff like that, right? The other possibility is that he did, in fact, visit a parallel dimension. Now, the biggest evidence against visiting a parallel dimension, which, by the way, is really difficult to prove, right? How do you prove that someone didn't visit a parallel dimension? It's almost impossible. According to Wikipedia, you know, the album is made up of a bunch of mashups, which are made from recordings that the different Beatles members did during their solo careers, right? But of course, Richard's answer to that is, even though in the alternate universe the Beatles hadn't broken up, that didn't mean their future music ideas disappeared. So basically, anytime you can attack the idea of the parallel dimension, there's a defense for it. Why do these songs just sound like mashups of existing Beatles songs? Because that's what they are, right? If this is how it works, then this is how it works. So, the other thing, the Beatles Everyday Chemistry, it's actually pretty good. You can get on that website, as previously mentioned. Or, you know, you can check it out on YouTube. And if it is just made up of the Beatles and their different careers, well, it's better than the sum of the parts, for sure. But, hey, if you visit another fucking album, or another dimension, and you can smuggle any sweet albums back for us, make sure and do it. All right, I'll see you next time.